Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to start this hour. And we bring in Stuart Mandel. He is the editor-in-chief for The Athletic, especially when it comes to talking about college football. Stuart, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, I want to hop right into this. First of all, just your thoughts on college football and is it happening this season? Because, I mean, every time I turn around and go, all right, this should be good. College football has to play this year. I turn around and start reading about more cases of players getting COVID-19 and testing positive, and then I start to go, man, I hope this thing happens because college sports is hinging on it.
I'm the same way. I mean, I've spent 3 months where week to week or sometimes day to day, some days I feel really optimistic. Some days I feel really pessimistic. I'm feeling pessimistic this week, not going to lie, not so much because of the numbers we're seeing with the players, but just what's going on in parts of the country right now. I think a lot of the plans that were made for college football, the restart plans, bringing kids back to campus, the 6-week ramp-up period were made at a time when cases were going down in the country, and now they're going back up. So, you know, nobody can predict, right? What will the country look like on September 5th, the date of week one? I think that's going to play a big part in it. But yeah, a lot of people in college football people are trying to remain optimistic, but also there's a little bit of, I think, a feeling of, are we kidding ourselves here? Because if you can't make it through voluntary workouts when they're the only students back on campus right now, for the most part, without having outbreaks, how challenging is it going to be in the fall when the whole student body is back and obviously guys are going to be in practice hitting each other and breathing on each other? And that's a lot to sort out.
Stuart, who's in charge? Who's going to make the call on all
Nobody.
This stuff?
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's something I've been saying though about college football for as long as I've been covering the sport. You have to realize nobody's in charge. There's no Adam Silver. Mark Emmert is I guess you would say the figurehead. He's the president of the NCAA. But then anytime anything major like this comes up, they say, "Oh, it's up to the schools. We don't have the authority to dictate anything." And certainly the Power Five commissioners, I think, are the people who basically run the sport. And one thing we've been told over and over again is they've been on calls with each other for months now and are certainly coordinating things and giving each other advice and taking advice. But it's true. At the end of the day, I mean, look how you're seeing how differently schools treat even giving out the information. Some schools are sending out press releases saying we tested 140 athletes this week and this is how many tested positive. And there's others who refuse to disclose anything at all. So it's like a lot of things in college sports. It's what makes it so complicated. There's not a centralized policy like there is in the pro sports.
Okay, I know it's hard to use these two words together when we're talking about sometimes in college sports and recruiting, but ethics and college football, because you better believe there's going to be hesitation if a star player tests positive during the week. And if nobody knows about it, I don't trust college football. I don't trust college athletics at all to maybe not report it. And don't you think that's going to be – I mean, that's going to be some kind of hairy ethical situation we're going to have when it comes to college athletics this season based on teams that could have players that would test positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, that's where conferences are going to have to step in and put some pretty strict standards in place. I mean, I would to the point where I would suggest there needs to be some sort of third party that comes in and handles that, because this isn't you know, gamesmanship. There shouldn't be any hiding. Oh, a player's got a, you know, sometimes they try to hide the fact that a player's got a knee injury or something like that. I mean, if you put a player on the field who tested positive during the week, you're risking, I mean, frankly, infecting the whole other team, right? I mean, if you put a running back on the field who tested positive, everybody that tackles him is at risk from the other team. So, I mean, clearly, they need to take that seriously. Now, one other issue, or big issue, is that, again, not all the schools are consistent about how often they're going to test and when they're going to test. You go down to the group of five, or certainly FCS level, who's going to pay for all that testing? You know, Power Five can afford it, but it's really expensive for the smaller schools. These are all questions that need to be answered.
You're talking about taking it seriously. Did you see the video of Mike Leach messing with Lane Kiffin as they're wearing masks? If the coaches can't take this seriously, then forget. we're in big trouble here. Not that those two are the bastion of seriousness, I guess.
I did see that video. I mean, first of all, Leach is standing behind the governor, and he's got his mask
down
around his mouth, but not his nose.
Right, nose. So, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not unique to college football, unfortunately. We're seeing a lot of that out there. I think that if you were kind of, if people in college athletics took a step back, I think they might acknowledge that maybe they might be better off trying to delay the season and maybe even push it to the winter or spring. But there's so much money at stake. If you delayed the season to January, February, and then things got worse, and you had to, at that point, you'd have to cancel it entirely. And I don't think they want to risk that. I mean, the effects of not having a college football season at all would just be devastating. And so I think that's why they are, and you're seeing a lot of quotes to this effect now, they're just kind of accepting that, well, there's going to be games canceled. We're going to have disruptions. But there's no talk of not playing the season. It's more like we're going to play the season. You know, Nicole Auerbach at our site reported yesterday that at least three of the major conferences are considering pushing their conference championship game back a week, just to build in a buffer week where you might be able to play games that got canceled, rescheduled games. So I think right now that's the operating plan, is to play, but assume that there's going to be disruptions.
And so what, I mean, and based on her story from yesterday too, what does that mean? Like, and what does that mean for athletic programs that there are, I mean, are we just kind of leaving weeks open so that we can maybe come back and replay them? And what does that do to the bowl season, which I would think would get heavily disrupted, or maybe we, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out some of these things if we've got to push stuff back. How do they do that?
Right now they play the Army-Navy game that week. So it's not like we never play college football that week, you know, that second weekend in December. It would mean one less week for teams. You know, you'd have to put off the announcement of the playoff teams by a week. That's a perfectly sensible plan. The problem's going to be, what if teams have to cancel two games or three games?
Right.
And, you know, will there have to be a minimum number of games to qualify for the playoff? And, oh, by the way, almost every university that has announced their plans for the fall has said that they're going to send students home for Thanksgiving and then not have them not come back until the second semester. That's how worried they are about, you know, a fall winter outbreak. So who's to say we'll even be able to play a playoff or a championship game in January? I hate to be so pessimistic, but these are all, you know, very valid questions that are being asked right now.
Stuart Mandel with us from The Athletic. Tell me about the idea of, all right, they move this season to, like you said, winter or spring. Let's say it is spring. If you're Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, if you're Justin Fields at Ohio State, don't you come up with a little bad ankle and just stand there on the sidelines for the season? Because, quite honestly, if you get hurt, and the NFL seems like they're going full guns blazing here with their schedule, so they're going to still want to have the draft in April. And wouldn't some of the high-profile guys that are ready for a big payday just go, I'm not going to play in the spring? Is that a concern?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think those guys would play. I pretty early on in our COVID world, I did a kind of half-joking but half-serious column that actually laid out, like, okay, here's what it could look like. Here's a calendar. But I assumed that if you played the season in, like, say, January through April, all the top draft prospects would sit out the season, and maybe even, you know, a lot of seniors who just don't want to risk getting injured. Now, some of those guys need to play. A lot of those guys need to play the season to show the put stuff on tape for the NFL. But Trevor Lawrence doesn't have anything approved. Justin Fields doesn't have anything approved. So, I mean, I think you would be losing those guys. You'd be playing a lot of freshmen. And also, I mean, the biggest problem with it is now you're talking about the guys who do play and then go on. You're basically talking about playing two football seasons in a calendar year. You know, you're going to ask 18 to 22-year-old kids to play 30 football games in a calendar year. I mean, I think you would have to basically, like the NBA, right, with load management, you'd have to have guys who you'd have to give them games off to rest their bodies. So it's a mess any way you look at it. But I will say one possible advantage to, look, we don't know when a vaccine is going to come. I know that there's been predictions of December or January. So if you do push it, there's a better chance you'll have fans in the stands. And, you know, Michigan, University of Michigan, presented a budget to the board yesterday that's projecting $25 million of lost ticket revenue. I mean, if there's any chance that if you pushed it to the second semester, that you could have full stadiums or closer to full stadiums, that's a big upside, possible upside as well.
Does that fall, like, we're looking at that for the NFL right now, or Major League Baseball, where they're just saying, hey, we're going to let your local government figure this thing out, and what's the percentage of you know, how many fans you can have in the stands? I mean, are we throwing this back on the government then to try to figure it out? Because, you know, the NFL's got this other thing. They've got to weigh out competitive advantage. And let's just say, you look at the Big Ten, let's just say Ohio State, let's just say Ohio State can put 20,000 people in their 100,000-seat stadium, and Michigan is only allowed to put 5,000 or nobody in their stadium. I mean, that's another – man, we are screaming for a football czar, aren't we? The more questions I think of, the more I'm right. Like, how can they do this?
Well, the issue of fans in the stands will be dictated by what you're allowed to do by your local government. And it's not something that the – colleges themselves will have the unilateral authority to decide. And, you know, you still hear this late in the game, you still hear ADs talking, oh, we're confident we're going to have, you know, fans in the stands, or we're going to have close to capacity, and others are being more realistic about it. I can't imagine we're going to have, I'm living in California. There's not going to be fans in the stands for football games this fall. You know, now I understand that other parts of the country have different feelings about it. But we're also learning more about this in real time. And a lot of the outbreaks right now are tied to people being close together in crowds. And, you know, you would think by September, given the data we have, that they might just say it's just not doable. So, I think decisions about whether to play the season and how to play the season will be made by the schools and the conferences. But decisions about how many fans can be in the stands will be made by local governments.
Last question for me. I have one more quick question for you. I'm just curious. If you're sitting there and you're one of the Olympic sports at any of these big, even the big schools, or, you know, here, obviously the Mid-American Conference is, you know, a big Division I conference here in the state of Ohio. It's just, if I'm in one of the Olympic sports, I'm super worried about football. Man, I need them to play football this year. And I just think that the whole face of college athletics is hinging on what happens whether we play football or not, and how sports at schools could quickly become club sports, where the responsibility of playing comes back to you wanting to play the game, and then you also paying to have your school jersey on your back rather than them paying for you. I just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I feel really bad for the MAC, and the MAC is the one conference that has already come out and you know, canceled championships for the spring and done a lot of cost cutting measures. You've seen Bowling Green cut some sports teams already. And it's interesting because the Alabamas and the Ohio States, they'll take a hit for a year, but they'll be fine in the long run. The TV money is going to come in. As soon as they're allowed to have full stadiums again, they'll have full stadiums again. I think it could cripple Group of Five and FCS programs for years. And in particular because, I mean, Bowling Green, half of their athletic budget paid by the university itself, and if the universities are facing tens of millions, or in some cases hundreds of millions, of possible losses in tuition revenue if students don't come back this fall. And so, I mean, that's where it's really going to hurt those schools. Certainly not having football will hurt those Olympic sports, but if the university says we can't afford to subsidize the athletic department next year, that's when you're really going to see those sports, those non-revenue sports, truly get devastated.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate your time. And, of course, we're always reading your stuff and all the great stuff you guys have had over the last couple of days when it comes to college athletics in particular. College football.
Stuart
Mandel, nice enough to join us. We appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.